This is a production by One and All Media. For more, head to oneandall.media.
Today
with Jeff Vines, pastor, apologist, and Bible teacher.
On this episode of Today with Jeff Vines, we have another message from the series called The Cross Before Me. If you miss any, you can find all messages in this series wherever you listen to podcasts. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin today's message.
So glad that you're with us. I'm in a passage of scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. But I want to concentrate this weekend on this passage because I'm reminded of a time when I was at Arizona State University and I was talking to some people who were struggling. They were Christ followers, but they were struggling with a traumatic event in their lives. And most of you know that I'll do some events from time to time with RZIM, and this is one of those events. I talk about Arizona State the most because it had the biggest impact on me. So you have some of these students that are very, very much struggling with depression and anxiety over some of the things that they're experiencing. And I sat down with one particular young woman, and I started to go down what I call my default path. It's where I'm explaining to her from a philosophical point of view why things are happening the way they're happening. It's like the Holy Spirit of God stopped me in my tracks and said, wait a minute, this is not helpful. She doesn't need a philosophical discussion right now. What she needs is some tears. She needs truth, something objective that she can hold on to. But she also needs some tears, somebody that will empathize with her, someone that will give her some sympathy and let her know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, that there's someone who has her completely in his care. So I started thinking about what's going on right now in our world, our community, and I want to ask you a question. Everyone listening, how are you doing? Really? I mean, this is such a good test of who we are right now. Are you feeling an enormous amount of anxiety? Are you worried? Are you stressed out? Are you losing sleep? I mean, could you be described as you're just horrified? Or are you the type of person right now that you're praying for things that are happening, but there's a real peace in you at the same time? It's not that you're not concerned or you don't have a certain amount of anxiety. But the overarching truth about you and your life at this point is that you have a prevailing peace. So here's what I want to do this weekend as we encourage you to keep your faith and trust where it belongs in God and God alone. I want us to do a little ADC together, an advanced discipleship course. Because if you're going to have any chance of making it through this season, you're going to have to do what Kipling says, keep your head when everybody about you is losing theirs. But if you're able to do that, then you're going to have to do three things. And we see all those three things in the passage in 1 Peter. You're going to have to, one, look back to something. Two, look ahead to something. And three, look into something. So wherever you are in the world, in your home, wherever, I want us to say those things together. Let's repeat after me. One, look back. And then look ahead. And then look into. So first, it is important that we look back to something. We've got to be maturing. We can't stand still any longer in our faith. We have to go the next level. And in 1 Peter 1:3, here's what we're told. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, it is important to remember who Jesus is. Here's what the scripture says about Jesus. We're told, first of all, before Abraham was, I am. Those Jesus' own words. And then Jesus speaking to the disciples in the book of John says this. He says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that Jesus is God with us. Every Christmas we talk about this, that he is Emmanuel, God with us. And if you think about it, that's unfathomable, really. It means that God came to earth to die that we may live forever. That is an offensive statement to many, but it doesn't make it any less true. I mean, how many of you have got on the scales in the morning before you go out to work and you look down, you're weighing yourself, and you're offended by that number. Well, that may be true, but it is still no less true. That is an accurate reflection of reality. In 1 Peter 1, we're told, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." And folks, if you ever hope to experience real joy and peace, even in the midst of something like this, you have got to get this. You have got to go past the elementary, fundamental aspects of the gospel into what the gospel really means for your life in every circumstance. Now, when I talk about the basic outline, here at One and All Church, we will go back to this graph. We've done this numerous times in a way to describe the gospel, the good news. That is that we are here and God is here, and there's this huge gap between us that our sin separates us from God. And the only way to cross over that gap is through the cross of Jesus. That is the fundamental aspect of the good news of the gospel, that Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves, and dying for us, our sins are forgiven, and we and God can come near. But there has to be a time in your life when you go past this kind of simplicity. It's powerful in its simplicity, but you have to go to another level in understanding what the cross really means. You have to start to think about, what is it that happened? What did Jesus actually endure on the cross? We know that he plunged himself into suffering, and not just our suffering, but infinitely more. So if you're going to be able to be encouraged, you have got to dive deeper into the meaning of the gospel and the cross. Let me illustrate it a few ways. We said before that as knowledge increases, then there is a greater awareness of pain and of volition, your ability to do and to move, and your ability to feel, to experience emotion. So with a greater knowledge and wisdom, with a greater understanding of the world around you, comes a greater sense of emotion and an ability to feel and a sense of volition to move out and do. We've said it like this, that the higher order of life, the greater the sense of awareness and volition. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means as you move up the order of life, of basic life, from dirt to plant life, to animal life, to persons, as you move up, the higher you go up the ladder, the greater the sense of feeling and emotion and a greater sense of volition, the ability to do. Now, if you think about it for a moment, dirt doesn't have much feeling or much awareness. Plant life has things like photosynthesis, so there would be involuntary responses. And then you get to animals that are able to feel a certain sense and have a certain sense of volition. We don't know how deep, but then you get to people. And there's a vast difference between dirt and people and plant life and people and even animals and people. A good example is this. My dog Milo, when we first chose him in New Zealand, when I took my little daughter Sion to go and pick out a puppy, she picked out a puppy, took the puppy away from the puppy's father. Now, the father dog may have been sad for a few minutes, but not very long. And the puppy, Milo, forgot all about his family within a matter of seconds because he was finding his favorite chew toy and enjoying his new home. In the same regard, Milo had some puppies, had a romance in his life, and there were some puppies. And these puppies, if he were to have them, if he were separated from them, there would be some sadness because he lost his puppy children. But if you compare Milo, and by the way, don't try to think of this in the situation of cats, because cats are in an entirely different category. They're little narcissistic, self-absorbed creatures. They lose no sleep over any tragedy. That's another sermon. But where dogs are involved, imagine the difference between Milo and me. If I'm estranged from my father, I would lose my sense of belonging. And I have been estranged from my mom and my dad for quite some time because I lost both of them at an early age. If I were to lose one of my children, or one of my children were to go away and I would never see them, it would be devastating. It would be life-altering. So the higher order of life, the greater the sense of awareness and volition. Now let's keep going for a moment, and if you'll stay with me, it'll all come together. The more perfect and enduring a relationship is, the more devastating the loss. If you have lovers that are together for 2 weeks and they break up, there's some sense of sadness, but it doesn't go very deep. If you have lovers who have been married for 20 years and somehow they are broken apart, then the pain is deeper. There's a greater sense of emotion and feeling. But then you have a couple that's been together for 50, 60 years, and one partner loses the other. Then there is depression and anxiety. In fact, sometimes the loss is felt to such an intense degree that the other partner will not live very long after the one who's been lost. My father did not live that long after my mother died. The separation after many years of togetherness was overwhelming. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment and know that when Jesus did for us what he did, he was separated from his father. Remember what we said? The more perfect and long-lasting the union, the more devastating the pain and loss. So what would it have been like for Jesus, who had a perfect union, an eternal union, unbroken, with the Father? How devastating would that be? You see, the cross goes way beyond Jesus simply dying. But it's asking the question, who died for us really, and what impact does it have on everyday living? What is death like for the originator of all life? Remember in John, the gospel, we're told, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word with God in the beginning. Let's go on to the next slide here. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. So the Bible goes to great lengths to remind us again and again that Jesus is not just Jesus. Jesus is God, Emmanuel in the flesh. He is the creator and sustainer of all things. Now, if you dive deep into that, you have to ask questions like, what would death be like for the creator and sustainer of all life? What would pain be like to someone who'd never experienced pain? What is sin like to someone who never experienced sin? What was separation like to someone who experienced perfect, complete, fulfilling relationship and unconditional love for all of eternity? Again, the higher order of life, the greater the sense of awareness and volition. So if there's this much difference between me and Milo, how great is the difference between me and God? That means that God would feel the brokenness and the pain of sin and separation to an infinitely greater degree than you and I could ever know possible. That is the deeper meaning of the Apostle Paul's words in Romans 8. He says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" The reason we can place our hope in God is that he has proven how far he is willing to go to rescue us by experiencing a pain and suffering that's almost impossible for us to comprehend, that is infinitely greater than our own. And yet, the reason we can place our hope and faith and trust in him for the present and the future is because we look back into the past and we realize what God has done through the cross of Jesus Christ. This past week, I watched a movie called 7 Days in Kigali. And Kigali, of course, is the capital city of Rwanda. And those of you who are part of One and All Church have heard me many times talk about going into the prisons of Kigali after the 1994 genocide. 1 million people killed in 90 days. And one woman tells her story. She's a Hutu. And she was dragged in by the Hutus because she would not betray the Tutsis. She walked into the room. She was escorted into a home where she was going to be killed with the rest of the people who were there. There were graves in the back lot that had been dug to place the bodies after they had murdered people with machetes. She was awaiting her turn. Death was imminent in her mind. And she watched as they brought in a mother, a young mother with her child. She had a chitangi with her child strapped onto her back, and they watched these Hutu atrocities as they took this Tutsi family and took this little baby and slammed the baby against the wall and then brought their foot down relentlessly on the back of this child until he died. And she talks about how she stood there watching this, helpless and hopeless, wishing she could do something, but there's nothing she could do. She finally managed to escape. And as I listened to her tell her story, I thought about what it must have been like for God watching his own son tortured, beaten, and bruised, having the power to stop it, but choosing instead to turn his face away that you and I could go free. Stuart Townsend in 1995 wrote a song called How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And the words go like this: how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. You know, the cross doesn't tell us the answer to our pain and suffering. It does not tell us why the coronavirus is here. It does not tell us what exactly is happening in our world and when it will stop. But here's what it does say to us. It tells us what the answer cannot be. It cannot be that God does not care. It cannot be that he is cavalier. It cannot be that he has isolated himself from us and is disinterested. Because he stepped into time and space. He wasn't cavalier. In fact, he who did not spare his own son, the Apostle Paul says, will surely give us all things. But folks, it goes beyond that. The writer says in verse 8, though you have seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. He's saying that even though we go through these times and we look back into what Christ has done for us, which means that whatever the answer is, it can't be that he doesn't love us because he gave us what was most precious to him. Even in the midst of that, not knowing, there's a promise that this Jesus will walk with us through this entire ordeal. That is the story of the book of Job. Job says, God, if I understood why this was happening, if you would just give me an exhaustive understanding, then I would be able to endure it. And God speaks to Job after 39 chapters of complaint and says, Job, there's 1,000 things that happen in your life every day that you readily accept for which you do not have an exhaustive understanding. And Job finally is awakened to his finiteness and how he cannot possibly fathom the mind of God. And then he says in Job 42, verse 5 and 6, a beautiful passage, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job says, okay, I get it now. Before I heard about you, God, but now I've seen you. Your wisdom is too wonderful for me. But I know that you will give me a prevailing presence. In fact, he says later on in Job 19:25, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth. What is Job saying? Job is saying, God, your mind is too great for my mind. And even if you explained why this was happening, I probably wouldn't get it. But I know one thing for sure, you live and one day you will stand upon the earth and justice will roll and our eyes will be open to see things we have never yet seen. But can I stop there just a moment and ask you a very personal question? How are you doing? How are you doing right now? This is a time to really take inventory of who you are and where your hope and your faith and trust really reside. Is it in God or is it in this world? This is the perfect time for you to recognize that if you have no peace at all, if you are filled with anxiety, if you are constantly worrying about what's gonna happen next, and there's no peace in your life, can I tell you something? It could be because there's no real relationship with Jesus. Job says, before I had heard about you, but now I see you, I know you, you are my Redeemer, and in the end you will stand up on the earth, and because I know that, I'm able to endure. There are usually three groups of people, and the middle group is the most difficult. The first group is the group, they don't even believe in God, and right now, they're gonna hoard and stockpile. To them, it's all about protecting me. There's no real compassion for anybody else. Let's get what I have to get, take care of myself, and move on, and whatever happens, happens. There's the third category, though, of deep Christ followers who understand that God is still on the throne. He's large and in charge. And yes, they are worried. Yes, they are anxious. But there's a part of them that has this incredible peace that is indescribable and unfathomable to most people. They're concerned and they pray, but at the same time, they know Christ is with them, and they feel this peace because Christ is walking with them. But then there's the middle category. So there's the person who doesn't believe in God and doesn't really care about any of these spiritual things. They're going to do what they can to survive. Then there's the group that they feel peace and comfort in the midst of the storm. But there's the middle group, and it's the toughest on them. This is the group that's terrified the most because they know and believe in God, but they also know that there's something missing. There's no relationship. The whole thing of Christianity is just a functional thing. It's a social thing. It's something that they do, but it's never something that has changed them, transformed them from the inside out. And they are the ones that are most fearful because they know where they should be and where they aren't. That's why it's the time for the church to pray for those who need to come home, would return home as their eyes are open to the most important things of life and living. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Peter 1:8, he says, when you pause and you think of what God has done in the past, guess what's going to happen? You will be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. It means that you're aware of your circumstances, but there's a joy inside that nobody can take from you. And God promises that he will sustain you through this with a prevailing presence. Let me read it again. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. So first, if you're going to make it quickly, you must look back to what he's done for you. Second, you must look ahead. In verse 3, in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What's he saying? In his great mercy, listen, you cannot go through times like this unless you have some kind of living hope. You need something beyond all the worry and the concern that is unshakable, something that is beyond all this. The only way you can have a peace that passes all understanding is to have a hope that's in something other than the here and now. You have to have a hope that is living and breathing within you, that energizes you and causes endurance.
You've been listening to Today with Jeff Vines. Thanks for joining us. Next time, we'll bring you the rest of this message from Pastor Jeff.
Jesus says to us that no matter what's happening out there, there is something in here that nobody can get to. No one can take from you. He says in the second part of verse 4, this inheritance is kept for you in heaven, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
You can listen to more messages like this. Just search for Today with Jeff Vines wherever you get your podcasts.
Today
with Jeff Vines.
This is a production by One and All Media. For more, head to oneandall.media.